this tree of life? It's not a tree of mango. Or guavas. Jehovah Witnesses, on their nice magazines, they've drawn a fruit tree of pears. I don't know why they had to draw that. Maybe a lot of them love that fruit. The tree of life. That was life. When man sinned, just watch what God did in the garden. What he did to the tree of life. It will tell you who is the tree of life. Let us go to Genesis 3.
Verse 22.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Hold there. That tells you the tree of life was the source of eternal life, right? Is that correct? God says, man should not partake of the tree of life. If he does that, he will live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. Watch what he does next. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. And a flaming sword which turned everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. Do you really think God can take powerful angels like cherubims to be guarding a guava tree? Angels have better things to do. Wherever you see cherubims in the scripture, they are always guarding the presence of God.
Amen.
Isaiah 37 verse 16. What does Isaiah 37 verse 16 say?
Yeah, inasema nini?
Isaiah 37 verse 16.
Isaiah 37:16.
Shall we all read? O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the
cherubims.
Where does God dwell?
Mungu anakaa wapi?
Between the cherubims.
Katikati ya makerubi.
Amen.
That's where God dwells.
Hapo ndipo Mungu anadumu.
Dwell means that's your permanent place. So wherever you see God, anywhere in the scriptures, he sits between the cherubims. Moses.
Musa.
When he was told to make the Ark of Covenant, he was told to make a box. And it needed to have a lid. On top of this lid, what was he told to make? He was told to make a sculpture of two cherubims.
Amen.
And God said what? Let us go to Exodus. That should be 34. Is that chapter 24? Okay, it's chapter 25, sorry. Exodus 25, verse 22. Exodus 25. Let's first read verse 9. Exodus 25, verse 9. God is giving instructions to Moses. Whatever he is going to make, it has to be exactly what he is being shown.
25
verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. After the pattern. Pattern means you are copying something which is there in reality. You are patterning it after the real thing. And what did God say in verse 17? And thou shalt make a mercy seat.
Nawe fanya kiti cha rehema.
Mercy seat was the cover for that Ark of Covenant.
Na hiyo kiti cha rehema ilikuwa ndiyo kifuniko cha hicho sanduku.
Of pure God.
Cha dhahabu safi.
Verse 18.
Mstari wa 18.
And thou shalt make how many?
Nawe fanya makerubi wawili.
Two cherubims of God.
Ya dhahabu.
Verse 19. And make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end.
Weka kerubi moja mwisho moja na kerubi wa pili mwisho wa pili.
Verse 20. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high.
Na hao makerubi yatainua mabawa yao juu.
Doing what? Covering the message.
Funika hicho kiti cha rehema.
So their wings should not just point this way, that direction, but they should cover.
Kwa hivyo mabawa yao haipaswi kuonyesha upande huu au huu, bali inapaswa kufunika.
To protect.
Ili kukinga.
For what purpose?
Kwa kusudi gani?
Verse 22.
Kwa ajili ya mstari wa 22.
Let us all read verse 22. And there I will meet with thee.
Nami nitaonana nawe hapo.
And I will commune with thee.
Na kuzungumza nawe.
From where? From above the mercy seat.
Pale nilipo.
Where exactly?
Rehema.
From between the two cherubims which are upon the ark.
Katikati ya hayo makerubi mawili yaliyo juu ya sanduku la ushuhuda.
So when the presence of God came, it did not sit anywhere. It had to find a particular place.
Kwa hivyo wakati uwepo wa Mungu ulipokuja haikwenda tu pale popote, lazima ingepata pahali fulani.
Where the cherubims were protecting.
Pahali ambapo makerubi walikuwa wakilinda.
When you read in Ezekiel,
wakati unaposoma katika Ezekiel,
Ezekiel saw the glory, the presence of God departing.
Ezekiel aliona utukufu wa Mungu ukiondoka.
What did he say?
Alisema nini?
The cherubims were guarding the presence of God.
Kwamba makerubi walikuwa wakilinda uwepo wa Mungu.
Is that right?
Yes, kweli.
Now remember what we said yesterday.
Nakumbuka tulichosema jana.
Jesus Christ.
Yesu Kristo.
Became the image of the invisible God.
Alifanyika sura ya.
Is that correct?
Hiyo ni sawa.
Now, in Genesis,
katika mwanzo,
God says, man should not eat of the tree of life.
Mwanadamu afai kula mti wa uzima.
Lest he lives forever.
E ili asile na akaishi milele.
Now, do you know God was protecting us?
Na unajua katika hili Mungu alikuwa akitulinda sisi?
Imagine having a toothache in eternity.
Hebu wazia kuwa na kuumwa na jino katika umilele.
Anything bound in an eternal space will be in that state.
Chochote ambacho
forever.
Kinyika katika hali ya milele inabaki katika hiyo hali milele.
I thank God for time.
Mimi nashukuru Mungu kwa ajili ya wakati.
Because time gives you an opportunity to experience something and to learn, to repent and make things right.
Kwa sababu wakati inakupa fursa ya kufanya kitu na kuweza kutubu na kuweza kujifunza.
If Adam had partaken of the tree of life and continued in eternity in that state, that wouldn't have been good for humanity.
Kama Adamu angeukula mti wa uzima na aendelee kuishi milele akiwa katika ile hali, haingekuwa vema kwa binadamu.
Man had to be thrown in time.
Lazima mwanadamu angerushwa katika wakati.
So that we can learn,
ili tuweze kujifunza,
we can repent,
tunaweza tukatubu,
and do it right.
Na tuifanye inavyopasa.
But now see,
lakini sasa tazama,
God closed the way of the tree of life.
Mungu akafunga njia ya mti wa uzima.
For what purpose?
Kwa kusudi gani?
For man to fully test the way he had chosen.
ili mwanadamu aonje kwa kikamilifu ile chaguo aliyojichagulia.
God did not stop Adam and say, hey, hey, don't eat that tree.
Mungu hakumkomesha Adam na kumwambia, hey, tafadhali usikule hiyo mti.
You know, the serpent said, God is hiding something from you. He doesn't want you to, you know this, that. God did not rush and stop everything. No. Remember, a king has to be crowned. Out of his own choice. People should say, you king, you rule over us. You king, when we do wrong, we commit our rights to you.
Wakati tunafanya makosa, tunaweka haki zetu, tunasalimisha haki zetu zote kwako.
God did a risky project.
Mungu akafanya mpango uliokuwa na hatari.
He created a being which could reason on its own.
Aliumba kiumbe ambaye angeweza kujiwazia mwenyewe.
He loved this being.
Na akampenda huyu kiumbe.
He wanted it to love him back.
Na akataka huyu kiumbe ampende.
But he can't force man to love him.
Lakini hawezi akamlazimisha mwanadamu ampende.
God knew.
Mungu alijua.
That if man partakes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it will be disastrous.
Mtu akila mti wa mema na wa kujua mema na mabaya itakuwa uharibifu.
He told man, that's a wrong tree.
Na akamwambia mwanadamu, hiyo mti ni mti makosa.
Knowledge of good and evil.
Kujua mema na mabaya.
Can I ask something?
Wacha niulize jambo.
Is knowing a good thing a good thing?
Yeah, kujua kitu kizuri si kitu kizuri?
Hello? I mean, it's good, right?
Si ni vyema kujua kitu kizuri?
Because when you know a good thing, you'll be able to avoid the evil. Is that right? So the devil came and said, hey, what is wrong with knowing good and evil? I mean, already you've all agreed with me. It's good. If I can convince you in a short space, imagine the serpent who is so clever and wise. It's a good thing to know. Good, right? Can I ask another thing? Does God have the knowledge of good and evil? Hello?
Yes.
He said it himself. Man is now like, in that he knows good and evil.
Kwa sababu anajua mema na mabaya.
So God already had that knowledge.
Kwa hivyo Mungu tayari alikuwa na hiyo maarifa.
Angels already had that knowledge.
Hata malaika walikuwa wanajua.
But the same thing.
Lakini lile lile.
In wrong hands.
Ikiwa katika mikono isiyofaa.
Can do great damage.
Inaweza ikaleta uharibifu mkuu.
See.
Unaona?
Let us go to Romans.
Twende Warumi.
Let us go to Romans chapter 7.
Warumi 7.
I want us to observe what Paul writes in this passage.
Ningependa tutambue kile Paulo anasema katika fungu hili.
Let me just search for one line. Romans 3 verse 20.
Warumi 3, 20.
I want us to read this all of us together.
Ningependa tusome sisi wote pamoja.
Therefore,
3:20.
Romans 3 verse 20.
Yeah.
Shall we read?
Therefore, by the things of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law of sin.
For by the law is
knowledge.
For by the law is the
kwa sababu hakuna mwenye mwili atakayehesabiwa haki mbele zake kwa matendo ya sheria, kwa maana kutambua dhambi huja kwa njia ya sheria.
By the law is what?
Yani kwa kujua dhambi ni kwa njia ya sheria.
Let us go to Romans chapter 7.
Twende Warumi 7.
Romans 7 verse 7.
Saba mstari wa saba.
Shall we read? What there?
Tusemeje basi torati ni dhambi?
Did you hear what Paul said in Romans 3 verse 20?
Yeah, ulisikia chenye Paulo alisema.
What did he say in Romans 3 verse 20?
Alisema nini? Kwa maana kwa sheria.
I can't hear you. So do we say the law is not good?
Kwa sababu ati unajua dhambi kutumia kwa sheria, tuseme ya kuwa sheria ni mbaya?
Do we say, by the law is the knowledge of sin, therefore the law is not a good thing? No.
Kwa sababu ati tunajua dhambi kupitia sheria, basi sheria sio kitu kizuri?
Romans 7 verse 7, what does Paul answer?
Uje katika pale.
What shall we say?
Tunasema nini?
Is the
law?
Je, sheria ni dhambi?
God forbid!
La hasha.
Because the law gives you the knowledge of the right thing to do and the evil thing to avoid, right?
Kwa maana sheria inakupa maarifa ya kile cha kupasa ufanye na kile ambacho inafaa uepuke.
However,
lakini,
nay, I had not, but by the,
walakini singalitambua dhambi ila kwa sheria.
For I had not known lust.
Kwa kuwa singalijua kutamani.
Except the law had said.
Kama torati singalisema. Usitamani.
I wouldn't have known there's such a thing as lusting and all that if there was no law which says thou shalt not.
Singejua kuna kitu kama kutamani kama sheria haingesema usitamani.
God did not walk in the Garden of Eden and tell Adam.
Mungu hakutembea katika bustani la Eden na kumwambia Adam.
Adam. Now, you should not commit adultery.
Sasa Adam ujua hili haufai kufanya uzinzi.
Is there a need to tell Adam that?
Je, kuna haja ya kumwambia Adam hiyo?
If God does that, he is opening the mind of a man to the depths of sin.
Mungu akisema hivyo anafungua nia ya huyo mwanadamu katika vilindi vya dhambi.
When God created Adam.
Wakati Mungu aliumba Adam.
That was the word of life which created Adam.
Ilikuwa ni neno la uzima iliyomuumba Adam.
That life gave Adam the right knowledge.
Hiyo uzima ilimpa Adamu maarifa inayofaa.
When Adam was taught by God.
Wakati Adamu alipoambiwa na Mungu.
Look here. When you read Genesis chapter 1.
Ukisoma mwanzo mstari wa 1.
There is a word which is emphasized 11 times.
Kuna neno moja ambaye ime sisitizwa mara 11.
Everything God was creating, he says, reproduce after your.
Kuna kitu moja Mungu alikuwa akisema kila kitu alichoumba zaa kulingana na aina yake.
God created the cattle and he told them to multiply after their.
Na Mungu akaumba ng'ombe na akasema mjizae kulingana na.
The whole chapter is after your own kind, after your own kind, after your own kind.
Sura yote kuna hiyo kulingana na aina yako, kulingana na aina.
Genesis chapter 2 now goes in details telling us after what kind Adam was met.
Na sasa mwanzo mstari wa 2 inaenda katika kilindi kutuonyesha aina ya Adamu aliumbwa kulingana.
The whole chapter 1 it talks about fish, it talks about a tree, it talks about how they are to reproduce after their kind.
Mwanzo inaongelea samaki na ng'ombe na vitu vyote jinsi yalifaa kuzaa kulingana na aina yao.
In chapter 2 it is all narrowed on one thing.
Lakini katika sura ya pili yote imelengwa kwa mtu mmoja.
It tells us how man was made after the kind of God.
Inatuelezea jinsi mwanadamu aliumbwa kulingana na ile mfano.
The whole chapter is dedicated to that.
Yaani hiyo sura nzima imepewa kwa ajili yake.
Now, do you notice?
Je, unatambua?
When God was naming and wanted Adam to name animals.
Wakati Mungu alitaka Adamu apitaje majina wanyama.
What does the Bible say? God brought the animals before Adam.
Mungu alileta wanyama mbele Adam.
He brought the cow.
Alileta ng'ombe.
Name it. Why was God doing that?
Mungu, kwa nini Mungu alikuwa akifanya hiyo?
Do you want us to read that?
Ungependa tusome hiyo?
Sorry, I'm only in Kenya for 4 days, so if I preach and preach until you drop dead, like in the time of Paul, that's your problem. Now, verse 19, Genesis 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto
Adam.
Why did he bring them unto Adam? You name a thing if you've understood what it is, right?
Unapea kitu jina kama ushaielewa.
He brings a cow.
Analeta ng'ombe.
Adam looks at it, okay, this thing, it looks like this, it looks like that. He gives it a name.
Adam anaona anasema hii kitu inafanana hivi na hivi na anaipa jina.
A horse.
Farasi.
Although it looks like a cow, Adam is able to see this is a different kind.
Adam anaweza kuona ya kwamba hii ni aina tofauti.
It's a different species.
Ni mnyama tofauti.
So he gives it a name according to its kind.
Aitwa anaipa jina kulingana na aina yake.
God brought the baboon.
Mungu akaleta kima.
Yeah, it looks like a human being, huh? But God looks at Adam. He's able to see this is a baboon. He gave it a name according to it. Mr. Serpent and his wife comes. This was the trickiest part of the exercise, the naming exercise. Because of all the animals, it was the only one which could speak back. When it stood next in line, it was able to say, good morning, sir.
Ilikuwa ya hatari zaidi kwa maana kwa wanyama wote huyu pekee ndio angeweza kujibu. Wakati alikuwa ndio wakufuata katika foleni, hata aliweza kumsalimia Adam na kusema hujambo bwana.
And God was more interested in that part.
Na Mungu alikuwa umakinifu wake ilikuwa kwa ajili ya hiyo.
Because the future of humanity hung there.
Kwa maana siku hatima ya binadamu ilikuwa hapo.
To see if he will know this is a different kind of a thing.
Kama kuona kama Adamu atatambua ya kwamba huyu ni wa aina tofauti.
The naming exercise was very tiring.
Na hiyo kazi ya kupeana majina ilikuwa inachosha.
But at the end of it now the serpent comes.
Lakini mwisho wa hiyo ndio nyoka anakuja.
Good morning, sir.
Anasema habari za asubuhi.
Yes. He looks at it.
Na anaitazama.
But he knows this is not man.
Na anasema huyu sio binadamu.
This is serpent.
Huyu ni nyoka.
Well, Adam is tired.
Kwa hivyo Adamu amechoka.
And suddenly a heavy sleep falls on him.
Na sasa kukawa na usingizi mzito juu yake.
He is done with all the naming exercise.
Amemaliza hii kazi ya kupeana majina.
He sleeps.
Analala. Baki koroma kabisa.
God removes a woman out of him.
Mungu akatoa mwanamke kutoka kwa ubavu wake.
Adam wakes up.
Adam anaamka.
He was not yet done naming things.
Kumbe kazi ya kupeana majina haikuwa imeisha.
He looks at her.
Akamtazama.
And that was the most beautiful thing before him.
Na hiyo ndio ilikuwa kitu kilicho nzuri kabisa mbele yake.
Someone said,
mtu akasema,
this is how Adam expressed himself.
Hivi ndivyo Adam alijieleza.
Says, "Woo! Man, this is good." Whoa, man! Well, he says this is a woman. Look, Adam did not need marriage counselors to tell him who she was. The word of life which made Adam gave him light of who was standing. He says this is woman. And he had a revelation. She was taken out of me. Therefore, he was the first prophet who prophesied. Where did he get that knowledge? The life. Adam used to feed of the tree of life. It gave him the revelation. It gave him the knowledge. He was able to prophesy. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Where did Adam know that? It was the spirit of life in him. The same knowledge that enables a fish to swim, the same spirit of life gave Adam a prophetic revelation. He was a son of God. It was not because he was clever, he was smart, he was intelligent. Adam had a spirit of sonship in him. He knew the right thing to do. That is why even when Eve sinned, the prophetic spirit in Adam knew what to do in that moment. He was a son of God. He lived by the spirit of life which was in him. But when a woman was deceived, the serpent said, God is hiding something from you. Do you know what that means? It means a lack of faith and trust in your creator. God allowed it. He allowed it. Because God knew for these people to enjoy life, they need to walk in my will. But how will they walk in his will? Should they be forced? That can't be called free will. God can't be king over man, and yet man is a cartoon. Imagine if I'm a good programmer, I make a cartoon. And these cartoons, they are praising me. You are a great programmer, you created us. Will I walk out of watching that television and say, well, these cartoons are very good, they're really praising me? No. Because a cartoon is a programmed thing. Whatever it does, it's you who has done it. But a human being was not at that level. A human being was made in the image and likeness of God. He had choice. He could make a decision to love or to hate God. That's how dangerous the drama God wrote out was.
But
he had it all planned out. He made man disobey him. That's all right. Because God is going to say, fine, you don't want to eat of this tree of life. So let me close it out. You live by your own choice, your own will. By doing that, mankind crowned his own will. I'll live by my knowledge. Even if the knowledge is of God to know good and avoid evil, you can never fulfill the good part in your own strength. That is why Paul painted a picture of the Old Testament man. I know the good thing to do and the wrong thing to avoid, but I find in my members another law working, tempting me to do a wrong thing. So God left man. What did man start doing? Started killing each other. Killing each other. Man said, "Ha! Let us make a constitution. Whoever murders shall be arrested." Man was sure that now people will stop doing this. What started happening? Prisons started filling up. And it also created employment opportunities for people to be watching over those prisons. Why? Even when man knows the good thing to do, he is tempted to do a wrong thing. Even when God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," that law creates a temptation for man to do the very opposite. Why did God do that? To make the whole world guilty. Let us go to Romans. Let us go to Romans. That is why God allowed the law to take its course. To make the whole world guilty. Romans 3, verse 9.
Warumi 3, mstari wa 9.
Verse 19, Romans 3, 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see that by giving the law, God wanted to make the whole world become guilty. To show mankind that your own willpower is not enough, even when you know the right thing to do. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I want you to see what happened when God presented the law before the children of Israel. This is what God said when he gave them the Ten Commandments. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you what? And you see what God called the law? I've set before you what?
Life.
Blessing and
baraka na laana.
Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Ili uwe hai, wewe na uzao wako.
Amen.
Are you seeing that?
Unaona hiyo?
The tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yani mti wa kujua mema na mabaya.
By its name, it seems okay, huh?
Kwa jina lake linakaa nzuri.
That's what the devil used. You will know good and evil. But God had created man to live by the power of the light, the knowledge that would proceed from the spirit of life that was dwelling in him. At the right time, man would do what he needed to do. But when they sinned, that veil opened before their eyes.
Cain
killed his brother. And he knew this is the wrong thing. That is why he dug the ground and buried him. Man found himself in possession of knowledge he could not handle. All countries on the planet today, they have constitutions, including Kenya. But tell me what governance system is able to follow their own laws. The laws are good. But you find a very minister of justice. This is not about your country. It's not about your country. You people, you have angels here. The very minister of justice can break
laws.
Not that he wants or he enjoys that. That is why even a thief steals at night. He knows what I'm doing is the wrong thing. God closed the way. Why? He wanted man to fully enjoy or experience the fruit he had eaten of. We are closing. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 verse 29.
Sura ya kwanza mstari wa 29.
Can we all read? For that they... May I hear you? I know you are hungry, but just add a little strength. For that they hated...
Knowledge.
What knowledge?
Maarifa gani? Maarifa inayotokana na neno.
They despise the knowledge which comes from life. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. God had told them, the day you eat of it, you shall die. That was despised. They ate of the wrong tree. And what does God say, verse 31? Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Of their own
way.
Of their own
way.
Of their own way means their will, their choice. It was no longer the tree of life at the center of everything. It's now the will of man. This whole world, it's what man chooses. Even the way we are born, it's by the passion, the will of the flesh. Is that right?
Yes.
You have children who are born out of being raped, right? God closed the way of the tree of life. to let man eat of the fruit of his own way. Why the fruit? Why the fruit? God wants you to test it and fully experience it. So that when you experience its bitterness, then you can choose. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now look at verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? They hated knowledge. To this day, saints, the world is still experiencing the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in the fullness of time, praise the Lord. Remember in the beginning, he says, man cannot eat of this tree lest he lives forever, right? But in the fullness of time, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes in him shall not. Remember in the beginning, he said, the day you eat of it, you shall die. But now whosoever believes in him shall not, but shall have.
Amen.
And Jesus, the one who became the embodiment of life, he says, the words that I speak, they are life. They are spirit and
life.
That's right. Amen.
This way which was closed. Genesis 3, we read that the way of the tree of life was closed. But when Jesus came, he says, I am the way, the truth, and
life.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, when he died and resurrected, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into the world. Why should we go into the world? Because God is in the business of now creating the family he desired in the beginning. To them that believe on his name, he has given them power to become. To become sons of God.
Amen.
Who is Jesus? He becomes the firstborn. Among many, Jesus had completely surrendered to the Father. Because God wanted to show man, I love you. Whatever word I give you is because of love. When I tell you don't take that path, I'm not trying to hide anything from you. It's my love. Therefore God tabernacled himself in a human body, so that man could greet God and say good morning. When a woman was caught in adultery and man was ready with the stones to kill her, says anyone who's never committed this, you cast a stone. God among us, Emmanuel. Doing what? Reconciling the world to himself. You see that? That was Jesus. When he ascended to heaven, He says, I overcame and I sat in my
father's throne.
In my father's
throne.
When John saw the vision in Revelation 4, on that throne is Jesus. What is guarding him? What is covering him? The four living creatures. Who are they? The cherubims. Are you seeing the picture? The tree of life in the beginning, guarded by the cherubims. Isaiah, what did he tell us? God who dwelleth between the
cherubims.
Ezekiel, in his visions, when the glory departed, it departed being covered and protected by the
cherubim.
When that spirit of God tabernacled in a human being and that human being went to heaven, he's sitting on a throne and is guarded by the cherubim. Jesus sits in the throne of the Father in heaven. Where do you think that throne is in heaven? Is it in the corner of heaven? A throne sits in the midst of a kingdom. Is that right? In the midst. The throne of God is in the midst of paradise. Let's read Revelation 2 verse 7. This is now the conclusion of the conclusion. Revelation 2 verse 7.
Ufunuo 2 mstari wa 7.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of what? To eat of what? So we are still reading about the tree of life even in Revelation. But where is this tree of life? To eat of the tree of life, which is where? Did you hear where the tree of life is? It's in the midst of
paradise.
In the Garden of Eden, it was in the midst of the garden, right?
Yes.
But when man rejected it, the perfect will of God, so to speak. When I say so to speak, it means I don't have a clear, proper way to express it. But in the limitation of human language, it was as though God withdrew his perfect will from the earth. And it is only in the midst of heaven. As God watches man live after the carnal pleasures of his will. It's there in heaven. But the prayer of God's children should be, Father, the way your will governs heaven, may it happen one day here. That the way it was in Eden,
men
will learn war no more. Our sick bodies will eat of the leaves of the tree. This is the last of the last scriptures now. Let us go to Revelation. We shall read Revelation 22. Verse
1.
To cut the long story short, in Revelation
21,
John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. That was the answer to the prayer we should be praying every day. Your will be done on earth. Your will be done on earth. God shows us now how that will, how that prayer will be answered. John saw heaven coming down. The holy city, New Jerusalem. Now, please. That's not a building. It's the bride of Jesus Christ. Because the bride of Christ will have the full will of God manifesting in them. Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Before it can come physically, it has to be established within your hearts. God becoming a king in your heart first. Before you make any step, you say, Lord, I need your will. Young man, before you get married, you say, no, I need to seek God first. When we reach a place where everything that happens in us is the will of God, we would have grown in the full stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. To make people grow into the stature of the fullness of Christ. Fivefold ministry is not promoting a man. Fivefold ministry is not arguing about thunders. It has a greater purpose. When that time comes, the bride will speak and things will happen.
Yes.
How can he speak when there's so much carnality around? Even if he speaks, there's too much noise in our thoughts. Noise of business. Noise of so many things. But when we grow and come to a place, where we are able to discern His will, God will even answer not our spoken prayer but our thoughts.
Yes.
Because He promised in His word, God is able to do abundantly. Say, Lord, walk through me, talk through me. Use me. May you become a glove through which the hand of God can do his works. Praise the Lord. Hey, this looks like good news. Let me first see if what I'm reading is right. Ooh, thank you, Kenya. I'm told there is a delay at the kitchen. Maybe I'm not understanding this right. Are you telling me to continue a few more minutes? Oh, praise the Lord! When you think people are bothered because you are taking long, and then they say, stretch it a little further because the kitchen has delayed. Glory to God. Hey, this is the real meat than the one which is at the kitchen. When the will of God finds full expression in us, that is perfection. Oh, many times you say, the bride shall be perfected, the bride shall be perfected. But what is perfection? Is it completing a syllabus of mysteries? Believers have become so much with each ears, wanting to hear something new. Mysteries are good, they are wonderful. But you need to know, when God sends a mystery, it's not just to increase your knowledge. No. It is to transform your life. Why did God reveal the seals? Is it for us to boast against denominations that, hey, we know the seals? Is it to make intellectuals out of us? No! He has never revealed his word for that purpose. When God reveals his word, is to transform us. He is giving us a piece of our mind. Of his mind. So that when we see what is in the seals, we see how the church fell. And we avoid the Nicolaitan spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, when the bride is filled with the will of God, one day the prophet, the spirit came on him and told him, write. And this is what the spirit said. When that day comes, the bride won't take a step unless it's thus saith the Lord. She will be a manifestation of his word, his mind. That's perfection. Spiritual perfection for the bride will be a total alignment of our will with God's perfect will. That is why when the Holy City New Jerusalem came down, it was said that the tabernacle of God is among
men.
The tabernacle of God is among
men.
What's the tabernacle of God? The bride of Christ.
Yes.
All that God was poured in Jesus. All that Jesus is shall be poured in the bride. So that we shall become the manifestation of who Jesus Christ is.
Yes.
And when John saw the holy city come down, that was the will of God coming on earth. The mind of God now to rule. How did it happen? These are people who said, Lord, thank you for the choice you gave us. But our choices are safe in your perfect will. Not our will, but your will. What are they doing? They are removing their crowns. Surrendering it to the Lord. The thing which crowns a human being to be on top of all animals, it's the will. We've used it to make aeroplanes. We've used it to create all these technological things. The strongest force in this whole world is choice. Motivational speakers in the world, they say you can be what you want to be. There is some truth to that. But you will give an account. You will give an account. Because free will is not a gift, it's a test. But this holy city, New Jerusalem, these are people who took pleasure in the will of God. And as they come down here, John
Johanna
wanted to peep to see what was inside the city. Let's see what he saw. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So in that city he saw the throne of God. Why is it called the throne of God and of the Lamb? Why is it called like that? Because, don't worry about the lights. I believe my voice is loud enough. Those at the back, amen? Why is it the throne of God and of the Lamb? Because the Lamb is sitting on the throne. But really, he is the personification of God. Now, see what he saw. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. At this point, do you realize that the whole Bible
Biblia yote
started the story talking about the tree of life?
Kwamba ilianza hadithi ikiongelea mti wa uzima.
Are you realizing that the Bible also closes with the story of life?
Na mwishowe Biblia inamalizia katika hadithi ya uzima.
At this point, do you realize that Genesis opens with how sickness and diseases came when the tree of life was closed up?
Yeah, unatambua sasa hapa ya kwa mwanzo inaonyesha jinsi magonjwa na maradhi.
And here the Bible tells us how healing shall be restored. How will it be restored? Watch this. Was there the tree of life which bear 12 manner of fruits? And yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now remember, the tree of life is the perfect will of God living in the
saints.
How many gifts of the Spirit are there? Nine, right? Some of those gifts are discernment. What's the purpose of discernment? Let me tell you a little testimony. One day, two good brothers differed.
Siku moja wadugu wawili wapendwa wakatofautiana.
The fellowship where I am.
Katika pale kanisa nilipo.
I love these two brothers dearly.
Na wapenda hao wandugu wote wa pamoja.
They are men of God.
Na wote ni watu wa Mungu.
But some little drama happened.
Lakini kuna kitu kio fulani kilifanyika.
One called me.
Mmoja akanipigia simu.
Pastor.
Akasema mchungaji.
I'm not happy with what brother so and so mentioned to me.
Si furahi kile ambacho ndugu fulani alinitajia.
You need to talk to him.
Inakupaswa muongeleshe.
Hey, I was scared. These brothers have never differed at any time.
Na nikashtuka kwa maana hao ndugu hawajai kukosana wakati.
Before my phone could rest, the other one phoned me.
Kabla simu yangu niweke chini, ule mwingine ndio huyo amenipa.
Pastor, you need to talk to brother B.
Na akasema
I'm not happy with what he said, you know. Now, both of them, they feel the other one needs to be talked to. And I was wondering, Lord, I don't have the wisdom to deal with this. This was on a Saturday. In the evening. I knelt down. And I said, Lord, both these brothers are good, and I believe they have good intentions in them calling me. And they genuinely cannot see what wrong has happened. And I'm confused. I don't know who is right. I don't know who is wrong. That night I slept.
Na usiku huo nikalala.
It was the fastest prayer I saw God answering.
Na hiyo ndio ni ombi ambalo niliona Mungu akijibu haraka sana.
I had a dream.
Nikawa na ndoto.
In the dream I saw brother A.
Na katika ndoto nikaona huyu ndugu wa kwanza.
He said, Pastor, there's no need to sit us down. I think God has spoken to me.
Na katika ndoto anasema mchungaji hakuna haja ya kuketi na sisi, naamini Mungu ameniambia.
Again the other brother in the dream appeared. He says, Pastor, you don't need to sit us down. God has spoken to my heart.
Na ndugu yule mwingine pia katika ile ndoto pia naye akasema mchungaji hakuna haja kutuongelesha, naamini Mungu ameninena.
I woke up in the morning and thinking, well, that was a strange experience.
Na mimi nikaamka asubuhi nikiwaza, eh, hiki kituko ni cha ajabu.
But 20 minutes after the dream, my Zambian brain was kicking again. So okay, that was just a dream.
Baada ya dakika 20 baada ya ndoto, akili zangu za Kizambia hata nayo ikaanza kurudi bado.
Then I had a phone call.
Na kisha nikapata simu.
A certain pastor visited Lusaka.
Kuna mchungaji mwingine ametembea Lusaka.
Said, Brother Piri, I'm in Lusaka and I'll be coming for church.
Na akasema ndugu Piri niko Lusaka na nitakuwa nikikuja kanisa.
I said, Brother, please minister. You'll be the preacher today.
Nikasema ndugu tafadhali leo utuhudumie.
That preacher man came.
Na huyo mhubiri akaja.
And he started preaching.
Na akaanza kuhubiri.
Hey, you won't believe it.
Na hongeza kwa
mimi. He hit right on the same thing which those two brothers were, you know, arguing about and which angered them. Now, I heard Brother A saying, praise the Lord! Hey, Brother Kiari, don't clap so soon, because I now got worried.
So
I hope that hallelujah is not feeling good that it's hitting the other brother. Because that would be World War III. But you know what? The other brother also said, praise the Lord. I was still confused. I didn't know what their praise the Lord meant.
So,
when we came out of the service, I was preparing now to call them. Then I spoke to Brother A. I said, oh, that thing you mentioned. He said, Pastor, there's no need. God spoke to me in the service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word of God is a discerner. When God manifests a spiritual gift of knowledge or discernment, it is to heal the conditions of believers.
Amen.
When you see someone believes they have the gift of knowledge, and whenever it manifests, it brings glory on them. That's not it. God manifests his gifts, they are lives for the healing of the people. That's the reason why he sends gifts in the body of Christ. It's to bring the fear of God in your midst. When you see a Pentecostal preacher is walking like he has a spring in his legs, trying to show he has the power of God, that's not it. That is drama. When the true presence of God comes, it brings fear. Even the person designing himself, he trembles under that anointing. That's how I've experienced it. It doesn't bring pride in you. It doesn't make people praise you. It brings tears. It brings trembling. Now, listen to this. When the bride of Christ comes here, after the 70th week of Daniel has run its course, the Bible describes the bride of Christ as the tabernacle of God, living among men, living among human beings. Because you would have become gods, not objects of worship, no. But Daniel 12 says, we shall shine like stars. Why? It is the word of life producing
light.
The light for who? For men.
Amen.
Who are these men? It's people who survived the great tribulation. Don't think they're spirit-filled people.
No.
These are simply good people who survived the great tribulation. They are coming from a political world. All they knew is about Kenya and the political parties which are there. Do you know there are good people who are not believers? They're just good people. They know how to help the poor. Do you know that? God will leave that element of people to populate the millennium. There are people who had conscience enough to see people who are being persecuted, and they created room to hide them. Those who are getting arrested, they were taking food to the prisons. They don't have enough, or they don't have the Holy Spirit baptism, but they have enough human conscience. And God will find a character in them to repopulate the world in the millennium. They are carnal people. All they've learned is the politics of the world. They have to learn how to live under the new administration. What is this new administration? Those are positions you are aspiring for.
Amen.
How shall the bride rule? It's got nothing resembling the political system of the world. They will rule by the 12 fruits of the Spirit. Now, all you have known are 9 gifts of the Spirit, huh? But the tree of life has 12. Some of them we do not even know how they will manifest. But whichever territory you will be given to rule, people will be coming to you. And you design their conditions. And people will be filled with fear. Say, hey, in this new administration, no secret can be hidden. Why? the whole earth shall be filled with the. What does the scripture say? The whole earth shall be filled with the. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Someone will do something in the secret, a wrong thing. He will come. Say, brother. You did this and that, right? The gift which was in Brother Branham, you see it to the full extent in the millennial reign. Because you need to know the millennial reign is not filled with perfect people. Isaiah says people will put swords back in their plowshares, they will learn how not to do war again. Jesus calls it the age of regeneration. What's at the center of it? Stars shining. Daniel says those who lead many to Christ, they will shine like stars.
Hey,
that does not mean there will be light emanating out of your body. That's what Disney, that's cartoon. It means the light of the world emanating from those who will be ruling with Christ. Those who do wrong, the spoken word shall be given, and some of them will die during the millennial reign. Yes, death will be in the millennial reign. Isaiah speaks about that. Those who do wrong, when they die at 100 years old, that tells you death will be there, but only as a punishment. Oh, brother, don't miss that time. Don't miss that time. Why will God entrust these people like that? Let me close now. When you look at Brother Branham, he was a human being. But God entrusted him with a gift.
Lakini Mungu akamsadiki na kipawa.
To make us look at something and have an idea of how the ministry of Christ used to be like.
Ili tuweza kumtazama na tuwe na kuweza kuwaza jinsi huduma ya Kristo ilivyokuwa.
He could see what people are thinking. Do you know God does not entrust that gift with people?
Unajua Mungu hapendi kupeana hiyo kipawa kwa watu?
I was reading this man who wrote the book God's Generous. His name is Liadon. And he's a man who's confused Pentecostals about who Branham was. He says he was called of God, but his teachings were wrong. And a lot of Pentecostals in the Bible colleges, they've read that book, and that's what they know Branham to be. Says he was called of God, but you know, God took him away because he had wrong teaching. That is why, when speaking his name, I love to pronounce it very slowly. Mr. Liadon. You see?
Liadon. Yani muongo don.
The same man later was caught in homosexual acts. Pentecostals have to open their eyes to see what spirit is lying to them. Here is a holy prophet, consecrated man. He had a gift which even unbelievers were dead scared. A dirty theologian with a dirty spirit of homosexuality on him writes a book and says he used to teach wrong things. Whom will you believe? I choose to believe a prophet of God.
Amen.
Now, I was watching the interview. interview of that man. And he was asked, you've written histories about different men you call generous. You know, he has written about Kathleen Kuhlman, he's written about Billy Graham and all these men. And he was told, who stands out? In all this, what's the thing you say, this was something else? I was watching him on YouTube. You can watch him. He said, William Branham. He says, why? He says, because I still don't understand how God could entrust a gift of knowing another person's thoughts into the hands of a human being. Says, I still can't comprehend that. And on that, I agree with Mr. Liar Don. You see? Because God can't just entrust that gift anyhow. Brother Branham had to be tested to come to that place. One day God told him, you'll be tested in a short while. Brother Branham was wondering, what test will this be? He was wondering, what test will it be? And one day he was preaching in a service. And a young lady and a young man came. They started embracing and doing all filthy things. And people were getting disturbed. What's going on? Brother Branham got disturbed. He says, young man, stop what you're doing. He stopped a little bit. The prophet continued preaching. Then the young man again started doing the stupid things with the girl. And then the Holy Spirit came on the prophet. I give them into your hands. Speak anything and it shall happen. Hey, what would you have done? The last time I was here, I told you what I would do. It's an opportunity for people in Kenya to see that I'm vindicated. Right? I'll even start quoting scriptures to create ground. Elijah killed the prophets of Baal. He caught fire from heaven. Elisha called those animals to come and, you know, eat those children. And I've heard the spoken word. He says, anything. I'll make sure all brothers who can do Facebook Live, they need to go to put it on record. But that's just the reason why we are not yet ready for that power. Because Brother Branham, when that voice came, he looked at the young man and the lady. He said, I forgive you for what you're doing. And when he said that, the presence of God came through in the audience. God told him, you've passed the test. That tells you the power to rule in the millennium. You need the mind of Christ in you. It's not just quoting this scripture, that scripture, to try to give ground for yourself. No. We need to have the full mind of Christ in us.
Shall we stand?
Remember when Jesus,
kumbuka wakati Yesu,
the Samaritans didn't want to accept him.
Wa Samaria hawakutaka kumpokea.
They did wrong things to him.
Walimfanyia makosa.
Two disciples.
Wanafunzi wawili.
You remember what they said to the Lord Jesus?
Unakumbuka walichomwambia Yesu?
Give us power so that we call fire from heaven to destroy this city.
Yesu, tupe nguvu tuite moto kutoka mbinguni tuiangamie hii mji.
And Jesus rebuked them.
Na Yesu akawakemea.
What did he say? You know not what spirit you are of. I didn't come to destroy people. Saints, we need a character that can make us the tabernacle of God. Because the scripture we read in Revelation 22, we didn't read the other part about the tree of life having 12 fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the
nation.
In the millennial reign, it will take 1,000 years to heal the mind of man. Why?
Kwa nini?
It will be people eating of the tree of life.
Itakuwa watu wakila kutoka kwa mti wa uzima.
How?
Haje.
The tree of life will be in the midst of the city. It will be in the hearts of believers.
Yani hiyo mti wa uzima itakuwa katikati ya mji, itakuwa mioyoni mwa.
The believers will manifest the healing word of God.
Yani waamini watadhihirisha ile neno la Mungu linaloponya.
Shall bow our heads.
Tuinamisha nyuso zetu.
Dear Lord.
Bwana mpendwa.
We realize
tunatambua
we are on a great journey.
Tuko katika safari iliyokuwa.
And when we speak of these things, we realize how great the work is
na tunaponena mambo haya tunatambua jinsi kazi
on the shoulders of the fivefold ministry.
Kazi iliyokuu iliyo juu ya huduma zile.
Because it has to work till we all come to the unity of the faith.
Kwa sababu lazima itende kazi hadi tufikie katika umoja wa imani.
Until people grow into the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Hadi watu wafikie katika kimo cha utimilifu wa Kristo.
Lord, words have been spoken. But may you take these things which have been spoken to give understanding. Not an intellectual understanding. But something that will impart life in us. And Lord, in expressing words and sentences, certain words may be stated wrongly. Only the Holy Spirit can try to paint the picture which is being presented here. So help us, Lord. We commit all things into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.